Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Welcome to the Everything in Between podcast. I'm Shay, and I'm here with Christian.
How's it going?
We're going to utilize this episode to kind of go over just who we are as people. As it was said in the other interview for me, is that it was brought to my attention by my lovely wife that we're not exactly experts per se in this field, but to just kind of give you an idea of like where these viewpoints may be coming from and just in general who we are as individuals, and just help you guys get to know us a little bit better. So we're gonna use this time to get to know Christian a little bit better, and we'll get things rolling. How are we feeling today, Christian?
I'm good. I can't complain. The sun is out and it's a beautiful day. So
not so much up in Chicago. It snowed here today. We also had 70 and 80 degree temperatures all week prior. So experiencing all four seasons in 24 hours. That's Midwest style.
I feel like it's just been weird weather everywhere right now. Like we were kind of talking about it earlier. Like there's just nasty weather all over the like Midwest and then even some of the South. Like I've got family that's dealing with all sorts of crazy like wildfires in Oklahoma right now. Like it's just a weird time to like the seasons are all just out of whack, it feels like, which is I guess about right for springtime.
So for this time of year, it's hazardous weather season for us being in Midwest. And you being further south, closer to Tornado Alley.
We're like smack dab in the middle of it.
I was actually gonna ask, like, not knowing geographically like where Tornado Alley starts and stops, it's like how bad is tornado season
so
for you guys?
Well, to give you an idea of Tornado Alley, like at least from my understanding as far as being an Oklahoman, like the entire state of Oklahoma is pretty much what you would like. Well, I should say Kansas and Oklahoma like together are really Tornado Alley. And then kind of just the edge of everything around that really is kind of like pretty much the edge of Texas. I mean, most of Texas would be because it's a lot of flatland as well. But like everything kind of around that area, Arizona would be in some of that. Like, again, Missouri's part of it as well. Like and we're like just barely in Missouri. So like we're like smack dab in the middle of all of it. So like it's kind of just there's a big clump right in the southern part of the country, like Kansas and down. That's just all of that. But it's always interesting. Like I remember when I was like, oh goodness, how old was I? I was like 15, 16, 16, 17, something like that. And I remember I just happened to like be recording on my phone and I walked outside and I'm like showing the weather and I'm like, the clouds are like moving like crazy. And I just so happened to take my phone and look straight up with my phone. And I'm not kidding. As soon as I did, this cycle started and it was like coming straight down on top of me. And I was like, yeah, I'm going inside. Like, you can hear me in the video, like just all of a sudden, like panic, like, holy crap. And I'm like, I froze. Uh-oh. I'm like, yep, I'm going inside. Like, and the funny part was, is like it ended up that tornado landed on the highway, which is not uncommon, by the way. Like it landed on the highway, and rode the highway and like tore up a good section of the highway, pretty much like 2 miles from my house. Like we were lucky we weren't caught right in the middle of it. Cause I mean, granted, like where we are is a little bit more rural, but once you get to those like highway areas, there's a lot of open land on either side of them usually. And it just, I mean, it caught the highway and it rode it the whole way. So it's kind of interesting. So that gives you kind of some perspective. Like I've grown up in that, and that's it's not uncommon. Like I mean, seriously, Oklahomans will go outside and we just kind of watch. We're like, okay, where's the storm at? Like everybody wants to be a storm chaser in Oklahoma, and yeah, if you can tell when people are not Oklahoman, when you walk out front your house and like they're not on their front porch with their lawn chairs, just like watching with you. Like yeah, we lived in Maryland, and it was about the time Katrina came through. I'm probably getting way ahead here, but it was by the time Katrina came through, the big storm that hit New Orleans. And Maryland was supposed to get hit hard because it was running up that side of the country. Like the storm was running up that side of the coast. And so we were supposed to get like really bad weather, like really heavy winds, really bad thunderstorms and stuff like that. And like me and my family are out front of our house, just like right about like literally probably 10 minutes before the storm's supposed to move in. We're all just like standing outside, like looking up in the sky. And our neighbor comes out the door and she's like, "What are you doing? Get inside." And we're like, "Is this not what you're supposed to do?
How are
like,
you supposed to know how bad a tornado is if you're not looking right? at it?"
Exactly. Well, it was just, I mean, that's what, when in Oklahoma, like, that's what you do. So it was like, to them, it's just this like anomaly. And they just, you know, I mean, granted, like, probably the best thing to do would be like be inside your home in the safest spot in your home. But not when you're in Oklahoma, dude. Everybody goes outside and watches. Like I said, everybody wants to be a storm chaser. So.
I mean, for people like me, like growing up in Michigan, we don't have tornadoes. Like, I've experienced maybe a handful now that we've been in Chicago, but one during my time in Michigan, which was very obscure. And like the couple, like the first few, especially when I was down here, like with my wife, like tornado sirens would go off and I'd be like, "We got to get to low ground." She's just like, "Go back to bed. It's fine." I'm like,
"Well, are you sure? I will say this." And I will say this, like when we were living in Chicago, I remember we probably hadn't been there for 4 or 5 months. And you'll probably remember this. There was a day where, and I want to say it was right around spring, like spring was getting ready to start. Yeah, because we'd only been there for like a month because I think we had just moved there. So it was like right around like March, late March, early April. And we were driving down, if I said the main road, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. So I know you know what road I'm thinking of that kind of runs straight through the town that you and I both lived in. And we were driving down that road and, not kidding, got hail, thunderstorms, snow, and heavy winds. All within a matter of not even 5 minutes, just driving down the road. And I'm like, you know, I think I'm not going to like ever complain about the weather in Oklahoma ever again, because this is psychotically weird.
That's the Midwest.
Yeah, it was. That was insane. So, yeah, I'll take I hate to say it this way, but I'll take a tornado any day over all four seasons in a matter of 5 minutes. So.
Oh, no shot. No, thank you. We'll use that kind of as like a kickoff point of, so we got a quick little synopsis of some of the places that you've lived over the last couple of years, but give us a brief background of who you are and how you got to be where you're at. Like, give us your short story.
The 5 minute testimony or whatever.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the church, was born and raised in Oklahoma. There's a very small town in between Oklahoma City and Tulsa area that I was born and kind of, at least for a short period of time, raised in. And when I was, months old, my parents, moved to the Tulsa area. And I, till about 7, grew up there. My dad was going to school in that area, kind of going to Bible college, at the time, while we were there. And, that's kind of where a lot of my like church background started. Like, I can remember walking down the back aisle of the sanctuary of our old church. And they had these big golden metal, like bars that were like maybe 1 inch to 2 inches thick that I remember just scraping my fingers across. Like, I can still feel the, feel the feeling on my fingers. So like that's kind of where my church background started. Like, I watched my dad kind of go through, like I said, Bible college. He was going to school for, like children's ministry and stuff like that, kids ministry at the time. And when I was about 7, we packed everything up and moved to Maryland. We had friends that were living there at the time, and my parents felt a heavy call to move up north. So we packed everything up, moved up there. And we're there for about another 7 years doing ministry. And that's kind of where I got a lot of my footing, I feel like, in ministry, like even just like volunteer ministry. Like, my mom helped start at the time, like the whole coffee bar concept of like, at a church was like new. And so like my mom helped like start their little like cafe thing.
Greatest thing to ever happen to churches.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, coffee is a thing of beauty for sure. So, and that definitely like sparked an interest too, as far as like, my parents are not, the funny part is my mom helped start it, but my mom hates coffee. So like she helped start this whole thing, but she's like not a coffee person. And so a lot of the drinks were like, you know, like frappes and stuff like definitely like a McDonald's style, like coffee bar. But anyway, so like I helped start that with my mom, did that with a couple of churches while we were there. And my dad would help in youth ministry. And so I got involved when I was like, geez, like 11 and 12, involved with the kids and like just like helping in like the tech, because I enjoyed that kind of stuff, helping with like leading worship and like doing all the motions, you know, the I mean literally I can remember the motions, like the "you came from heaven to earth," to like all the little like kid songs when we were a kid. I still remember the motions, kid, like they're all just muscle memory. Like I just remember doing those and enjoying that as a kid. And then when we moved back, we moved back to Tulsa, so that I could kind of go through high school and like, again, kind of like really get a foothold and like make some relationships. Cause my parents felt like we had moved so many times in my life at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like two moves at that point in time for somebody my age is a lot. Oh, and even sure. Then, like I've done it another, you know, 2 to 3 times since I've been in my adult life. And like, I know how heavy that can be on a 4-year-old from the perspective of my daughter. So like,
yeah,
it's definitely been something that's been ingrained in me to like just like wherever God calls you kind of go. And so when we moved back to Tulsa, I was probably about 14 at the time, probably about 2 or 3 years after that, we went to this like small little conference, like at a church that maybe had 50 like weekly members at their church, like very small little church. I don't know if I've actually ever told you this story. I might have, but anyway.
I don't know. I think I'm learning a lot already.
Yeah, I can't remember if I did or not. This is like the pinnacle moment in my life where I feel like I really like got into worship ministry. But I remember we went to this conference, and my mom had been like talking this whole thing up. She's like, "Yeah, I think you're really going to enjoy this." I had already kind of like showed an interest in music at the time. And she's like, "Yeah, Christian, I think you're really going to enjoy this." And I'm like, not looking forward to it. Like, I remember like, I'm like, this is, I just want to like, I'm freaking 15, 16, 17. I'm like, I just want to like play video games. Like, I don't give a rip. Like, it wasn't even that. It was just like, I'm a teenager. I don't really want to go sit at an adult conference for a church and like, listen to some guy speak for 3 hours and whatever. Anyway, it's like, we go to this conference. In the process, it's like this big worship conference. Like it was just essentially a 2 or 3 hour thing where it was this guy leading worship. Come to find out, my mom had told me, but I didn't put at the time. Like I said, I'm 17. I don't really give a rip. He was a Dove Award winning artist, which if you know anything about like the Christian music world, like the Dove Awards is like their, you know, their, what's the
Grammys.
Yeah. Like the Grammys of Christian music. And so I'm like, okay, you know, at the time I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But, you know, still was like, whatever, like, I'm just not interested. And anyway, my mom's the kind of person that she'll like talk to a brick wall. And so she like goes concerning. Up to this guy. Like we like wait. Well, if you know my mom, sorry, mom, love you. but we're at like, so my mom like goes up to the guy after the whole thing's done. We like waited around for like 15, 20 minutes after the whole thing was over. Everybody kind of had fed out of the room. And, so we waited around, this guy shows up this guy's like standing at the front of the stage. We go up to him and he's like, my mom's talking to him for a second and he comes over and we start talking and he just starts like asking me questions and just asking me like these really vague, like, you know, trying to get to know me questions kind of thing. And in the process, like, I just expressed like, yeah, I mean, I'm interested in music. Like I enjoy that. It's not something that I've really like gotten into, but like, I enjoy it. And, he just kind of started pouring into me. I was like, I really feel like there's a heavy call for you to go into worship ministry. And mm-hmm. when a Dove Award winning artist who you've like watched now for 3 hours, who you're like, holy crap, like the Holy Spirit was in the room. I mean, and it was like the heaviest feeling while he was leading worship that I've ever felt of the Holy Spirit in the room. It was really, really cool. He's like, I mean, just starts pouring into me. Like, I really think this is something you should consider. I think it sounds like you might be good at it. Sounds like you would enjoy it. And like, I feel like just sitting here talking to you, like there's something that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart and that may very well be worship ministry. So again, like I said, like when a Dove Award winning artist looks you in the face and is like, this is what you should do with your life. There's really kind of a hard point where you're like, maybe he's not wrong, you know? So like, that was kind of the kickoff of it. And we went to another conference that next day that he was going to be at a much, much larger church. Like, it was actually the church that I initially had grown up in. And so we had gone to that, got to hear him again, kind of like really preyed on that during that night and just heavily felt that pull. And I feel like it's never kind of like quit. Like I've just always felt like I've seen God open door after door, and you know, there's always been an opportunity to lead worship to some capacity. And so I've just kept kind of walking through that. And so when I was, probably, I want to say 6 months after that, I think I got involved with my youth ministry, like the youth ministry worship team, and just kind of started leading worship. Yeah. And my, now I'm like forgetting timeline here. I got a chance to work in a lot of different churches and a lot of different capacities at a lot of different like church camps for youth kids and stuff like that. And just again, like door after door kept opening, and I'm like, okay, God, if you're going to keep opening the doors, I'll just keep walking through. Within that time, I met my now wife, Stephanie. We, about a year after we got married, had our daughter, Dylan, who's now 4 years old. Will be five at the end of this year, which is crazy to think. And when she was about, oh goodness, she would have been two at the time. We started looking for jobs. We had already kind of been looking for like worship jobs about that, like for the first couple years of our marriage. And just were kind of like unsuccessful in finding anything. I say it was a couple years, about a year. And this church in Chicago, got a hold of us through a company that I was searching for a job through, and that company connected me with that church, and I took the job. We moved to Chicago, and that's kind of where you and I met. That's where you and I met. I started leading worship. Shay was on the worship team, and that's kind of where our friendship took off. I feel like you and I hit it off. I think I said this in your interview as well. Like you and I hit it off pretty quickly. I wasn't really sure. I remember feeling like, I like this guy Shay, but I don't know if him and I are like, I don't know if him and I would connect well. And then like, I remember like as rehearsals would go on, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy and I think a lot the same. Like this could be a really good friendship.
And I think what really helped us out in that, like kind of thinking back on it now too, because like you're saying, yeah, like this was one of your first like major full-time positions as a worship director. This was the first time that I was ever in any capacity on a worship team.
Right.
So I think both of us kind of like
just started.
Yeah. Like maybe weeks before you showed up. Nah. Mm-hmm. Month, maybe. Weeks-ish. Don't know the time frame there.
But 3-4 weeks. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We're both brand new to that stage. And I think that's really what helped us like kind of become closer, because we were both figuring things out at the same time.
Yeah, we're already both weirdly awkward. So it just like putting us both together at the same time, I think was definitely probably not a smart idea on that church's part. But anyway, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I think it led to some good things.
Oh, no, it definitely did. I mean, I'm thankful for our friendship in a lot of ways. So, no, I like it's one of those things like, anyway, that's another story for another time. But yeah, so we were there for a couple of years, almost exactly. And then God, I kind of felt like a pull to come back closer to family. So we moved back to a church in the Joplin, Missouri area, and which is like a couple hours from home because all my family's kind of in the Tulsa, Oklahoma City kind of area. And so we moved back to be closer to them. Your and I friendship just never really stopped. Like I reached out about like, doing like a study together, and we kind of started a book study. And then I kind of was like, hey, would you want to like do this little like podcast thing with me? And that's kind of where this all like came about. And I was working at the church that we got called to here in Joplin for about 6 months. In the process, things kind of didn't work out there, and which is another story for another episode for sure. We'll definitely dig into that. I'm excited to kind of like dig into some more of that, like with you. I think it'll be really cool to talk about some of that. It's been a crazy like few years. Like I've had this opportunity to like be out of like in ministry for a while, and then like be out of ministry for 6 months or so now, and kind of just feeling like, okay, God, like, what's the next thing? Like, where are you calling me? What it's, you know, trying to like navigate, like feeling like not like God's left, but like, what do I do now? Like, there's this like weird, I don't want to say calm in the storm, because I don't know that it always feels like that, but there's just this weird, like, okay, what's happening? Like, it's quiet, too quiet kind of thing. Like,
almost kind of like your season of waiting. Like,
And just not really knowing what Yeah, I mean, you're just, I don't know that I'm even in a place of like feeling like I don't know what God's doing, but just kind of like, I'm not frustrated at him. I'm not like, I feel like I'm in a good place with my relationship with him. Like, I'm not mad. I can think of plenty of times in my life where I'm like, I remember being really upset with God for something that happened or whatever. And I don't feel like I'm there right now. Like, I feel like I'm in a place where it feels like our relationship is good. I'm like, what are you doing? Because like, I'm confused more than anything. Like, and again, not confused at him, just confused with the situation. Like, I'm like, I know here you're doing something, and maybe that's where I'm mostly confused, is like, I know something's happening. I can see it, but I want to know where you're going with this. Maybe that's, you know, it's like watching a movie and you're like, okay, what's going to happen next kind of thing. Like, there's this weird calm in the middle of the movie and you're like, okay, I'm excited to see what happens. But like, what is, like, I don't know, that you're like on the edge of your seat for whatever's about to happen kind of thing. And so maybe that's the best way to describe it. Like, I just feel like we're in this really cool waiting period where like, I'm like ready for whatever God has for us. So it's been really good. Like, it's been a really, really hard season. We've gained a lot of friends and lost a lot of friends all in the process of like a matter of like a year. And I still feel like God is just really working heavily, and I'm excited for it. So
in this season of waiting, we'll call it, I think that's a good way to kind of look at it. How are you keeping in touch with what God's plans are for you? Like, how do you feel like you're keeping with God's plan for you? In the sense of, like, you just mentioned before that you had a Dove Award winning artist say you should be in worship ministry. Yeah. And this was the calling that you've followed out. Like, you've gone to other churches, you've done it. Like, now that you're in a position where you're not in that, how are you staying in tune with your faith? How are you keeping going, yeah, really?
Like, my wife and I recently, which is something that we've, like, you know, it's one of those things you talk about doing for a long time and just really struggle to do. Like, we've really recently, like, tried to just be in the Word together more than anything. Because okay, I think we both realize how much, like, of a wear it's been on both of us, and not only our faith, but, like, our relationship, because of the pull that ministry has. Like, I joked with somebody at church today, because we just started volunteering at the church that we're at. And I joked and said, like, when you're a ministry spouse, you're not really just like a ministry spouse. You're in ministry. Like, you 100%. Yourself as the spouse are in ministry. Yeah. And like, so as much as Stephanie is not like the guy, you know, she's experienced what it's like to be the guy's wife and be that ministry spouse. And it's really had, like, I mean, I'll be honest, like, it's really had a negative, there's been a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but I think there have been a lot of things that we've realized has had a really bad wear and tear on our marriage. And like, we're kind of realizing, like, maybe that's what this is about. Maybe this kind of, like, for lack of better terms, waiting period is God trying to say, like, take a break, like, get, remember why you're in this thing together, because sure, that's what I need you for whatever's down the road. You and I have discussed it a lot of, like, a few times, like, God didn't put you in a situation that you're in right now so that you can look back on the things that you've been in, that you went through before, and go, well, if I knew what I know now, I would have handled that totally different. No, he's telling you now because he's saying there's something coming that I need you to be ready for. And so I'm showing this to you now so that you can be ready for that in the future. And so I feel like that's kind of where it's at. Like, we're realizing things in our marriage, and I'm like, man, I wish we would have recognized this a long time ago. And like, just again, like, simply reading, and we're not like doing a big study, but we just stop. I mean, it's right. I feel like that's what it is right now. We're just taking some time at the end of the evening to spend together, and we just read for a few minutes. Like, whether it's just a few minutes, sometimes I noticed, like, recently, especially in the last like few days, things like the conversation kind of takes off. Like, man, I'm kind of like really confused by what's happening in this section of passage. Like, what are you hearing? And like, and so it's been really good to, like, the conversation just kind of happens. And, yeah, and I think I'm enjoying the waiting period, even though it's frustrating and it's confusing. I feel like I've enjoyed it more because it's, and we're still early in this. Like, we're still early in, like, trying to navigate a lot of, like, re-navigating the, what feels like the beginning parts of our marriage again. So, like, I will be the first to admit I'm no expert in it, but I'm excited. And I think that's been, I mean, I feel like that's the basic, like, Christian church answer, but like, it is the truth. Like, being in the Word, especially with your spouse, is so important. And I'm realizing that, like, what feels like for the first time. So
I think you make a really good point too, that even I'd never really fully considered is the spouse in a lot of these like ministry positions. Like, you're saying that, like, she's not on staff, but she still feels really the weight of the church that has been put on you is also being put on her, because you bear a lot of that burden. And unfortunately, a lot of that comes home with you. I'm like thinking not even just for you as a worship leader, but like the pastor, even probably even more so, like the wife of the pastor puts on a lot of weight too. I mean, more often than not, I feel like every church that I've ever been to, the pastor's wife has always been a pretty big presence throughout the church. Yeah. Like, everybody knows the pastor's wife because she's off volunteering, doing God knows what. And like, she spends a lot of time
different things,
probably doing a lot of things for free. Like, she's not even a paid employee, but like the amount of stress and weight that spouses also have to bear from their ministry spouses, like, it's kind of eye opening to think about. And I think it kind of leans into something else that we talked about in another podcast, of just like the pressure that's being put on our Christian leaders. And how that also could spill over onto your spouse. And now thinking about it, I'm like, man, we should have dug into that in that episode too.
Which we could do. So we could do another episode. But I mean, you're right. Like, she is the, like, I love the way that the Bible talks about how, like, the wife is the cornerstone. And I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, there's this like stigma that, like, and I'm sure we'll get into this too at some point, but there's this like whole like egalitarian movement of like, and that's the movement of like women being the pastor in a church. Like, there's a lot of people who don't agree with the egalitarian movement. There's a lot of people that are like, which I think I would come from the perspective of like, if the woman can preach better than I can, let her preach. Like, that don't let me stand in the way of God using somebody. Like, he did that throughout scripture with women all the time. And I think that that's the thing, is like, I know, at least for me, like, Stephanie has, when I've stopped and said, okay, God, I'm going to try to, especially in those moments where like we're arguing or we're frustrated at each other or something like that happens, when I stop and just say, okay, God, what are you trying to say through her? A lot of times I end up hearing, I mean, it's obvious when I say it that way, but like, I guess I didn't realize at the time how often I would hear God's voice come through my own wife, because I wasn't listening for that. I would, you know, it might be a moment of like, okay, God, like, help me to hear her better. And though that's not a bad prayer, like, I feel like it's a whole lot easier to see God through her when you're asking God to show himself through her, because you're opening yourself up to that willing, you're being willing to hear that. So like, I mean, it's true. Like, she's been that woman has been the cornerstone of my own faith in a lot of ways, because of, the amount of listening that I know she does, probably better than I do to God. So Stephanie, I love you. She's amazing. She's the best of everything in my life, for sure.
Oh, look at you. And I can definitely vouch for that. She keeps Christian in check for sure. So, outside for of sure. faith and ministry, what's some of your passions and hobbies? What do you do outside of music?
Oh, geez. Well, Shane knows this better probably than anybody. I'm like a huge Star Wars dork, for sure. Like, if you at some point when we finally start to like video these podcasts, you'll see I have like a, what are they, right behind me, a like whole shelf of just like Star Wars stuff. And I probably should admit it's Star Wars Legos mostly.
And just the Home Alone house along with it. Cause that's fitting.
Yeah. There's a giant home. I can't even see it in the, I guess maybe I should say I'm a movie buff. Like, I really like movies. I don't know. Like, Star Wars has always been that big one for me, where like, I just really enjoy like the connection between the light and the dark, how like the Force binds us together. Like, the Force, in my mind, that's who God is. Like, that's who God is in our lives. And I guess I love that about movies. Like, I love watching a movie and like finding the little subtle like connections to who God is. It like blows my mind how often, like, you'll, even with like scary movies, like, they these Hollywood directors can't deny that like God is real. Like, and a lot of them will tell you, like, if the devil's real, then, and we know that the devil's real, because even with scary movies, like, they'll admit that the devil's real. If they know that the devil's real, then they know that God's real, and they're just having a hard time admitting it to themselves, is what I feel like a lot of it is. But, like, that's what I love about, like, just cinema in general. Like, I really like watching a movie and, like, finding the little connections to our relationship with God. And usually that's what it is like, I'll find some little nugget in there of like, man, like that's how God sees us. Or that's how, like, especially like now that I have I've had a daughter for the last few years, like, like watching movies now, even that I've watched as a kid, make, like, they're totally different. Totally different.
For sure.
I can't watch a movie, and this would be new for you too. Like, especially being, you're like starting to navigate fatherhood for the first time. Like, it's one of those things, like, going back and watching a movie again, I'm like, dude, I totally, like, you watch a movie, you're like, why did that person respond like that? And then you put it in the perspective of, like, being a father, and you're like, yeah, I get it now.
Oh, now it all makes sense.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what I love about, like, I love finding those little connections between, like, my relationship with my daughter, because it reminds me of, like, my relationship with God. So I feel like movies and music in that way, like, they have such an interesting way of, like, unintentionally guiding us to the heart of who God is in our lives, whether we want to recognize it or not. And so I think that's probably where a lot of the connection to, like, Star Wars comes from. Cause again, I just like that, like, that whole, like, again, connection to, like, light and dark, and the light always wins out, whether the dark wants it to or not. Like, the light always has this way of winning out. Darth Vader, sorry, spoiler alert, Darth Vader becomes good in the end. And what? For what reason, you know? So, yeah, sorry to break it to you.
I've only watched two Star Wars shows.
Well, that's what's wrong with you.
No, like, I kind of follow in that same thing of, like, movies have always been huge thing in my upbringing and my family, and it's one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most as a new father, is when she finally reaches those points where I'm like, I can show you some of the movies from my childhood. I'm like, what's gonna be that movie that she just latches onto, like, her favorite character?
Yeah.
Like, I think of, like, my little nephew, like, he loves cars, so, like, anything Lightning McQueen is his jam. And like, if once she gets to be old enough, like, if it's like Lilo and Stitch or Moana or, God forbid, Frozen. But who knows? I'm like, could have, like, and it's probably the cruel irony that God is going to bless us with, is that both my wife and I, being athletic, we're probably going to get, like, a very girly girl dancer, like, just things that neither of us know a darn thing about.
That's what, Stephanie and I have discussed that plenty of times. Dylan is very much like this dancey type, and Stephanie's a soccer player, or used to be a soccer player, and I played Little League baseball and football in high school, and I'm like, neither of us know anything about that, so what are we gonna do? We're gonna just have to, like, put her in classes or something, because I don't know what to do, so.
Gonna have to start learning to dance yourself.
Yeah. Yep, I guess so. Yeah, well, I was gonna say too, you said something about, like, different, even just different pieces of media, like you mentioned, like, Frozen and stuff like that. Like, I'm telling you, like, I can't watch any of those. Cars is definitely one of them too. Like, you'll go back and watch it now and you'll be like, dude, I can't watch this movie and not cry halfway through or all the way through. Like, you'll, like, halfway through the movie, all the way to the end, you're like, cause either you're thinking about yourself and how broken you are in your own fatherhood, or you're thinking about how, like, you know, your daughter is, like, seeing whatever in the movie, or how she's being affected, you know, or how, like, her personality connects to one of the characters. So, like, it's just one of those things, like, dude, it's, you can't watch anything. One of my favorite pieces of media is The Last of Us, which, of course, they're releasing the second season really soon. If you haven't seen that show, you should so watch it. You should play the video game first, but... That being said, like, I remember my uncle asked me, because the story is very much, like, wrapped around this, like, the idea of fatherhood. I won't ruin it for you, but it's wrapped around this idea of fatherhood. Yeah, dude, it's so good. Would highly recommend. Probably wouldn't watch it with your kids, but if you're a mature adult, please watch it. It's especially if you're a dad. But there's this like moment in the entirety of the show where like the main character or the game where the main character has to make this like really pivotal decision for the sake of the other main character. And he makes this decision. And I remember my uncle like asked me, he's like, when I finished it, he was like, so what did you think of the main character's decision? And I was like, I don't know that I liked that. Like, I don't agree with the way he handled it. And my uncle was getting ready to have kids at the time. And he said, I went back and played the game again. Cause at the time the show wasn't out. He's like, I went back and played the game again. He's like, you need to go play it. Once you have kids, go back and play it. And then we had our daughter and he's like, okay, you're going to go play The Last of Us again, aren't you? And I was like, okay, I'll go back and play it. So I went back and played it. And I went to him late. I literally, as soon as I finished the game, I was like, okay, you were right. I would have done exactly what the main character did. Cause it's one of those things like it just completely changes your perspective once you have kids. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. Such a good, like the games are amazing first off, but the show itself is like a really good, like even just description of fatherhood and like what you would do for your kids. So, yeah.
So we can kind of use that as like a segue into the next one of, what's one piece of advice or wisdom that's really stuck with you over the years? And that could be ministry, fatherhood, life in general. What's like the first thing that comes to mind?
I have had many like people say this to me in my life of like just leaders in my life. One in particular she was actually one of the leaders. Well, she is one of the leaders at she's one of the pastors at the church that Shay is at, like, or that you're at. She said it to me. I've had so many other people say it to me, but like, never take life too seriously. Like, that's always been something. Like, I feel like I either get too caught up in like the everyday stuff, or like I get caught up in the little details, or even just like, it's one of those things that I found myself like, it fits with anything. Like there are so many things in my life that like I can very easily get frustrated about, get upset about, lose my cool about, not trust God in. Like there's so many of those little things that I'm like, man, it's so much easier to just like give up. And I found myself constantly going back to that of like, you just can't like, there's a whole lot worse things in the world than financial trouble or, you know, whatever, a car accident or, you know, you name it. Like the stuff we deal with is like minuscule. And the Bible talks about that, like minuscule things that we struggle with that God's like, man, if you only knew what I took on the cross, if you only knew what I went through, because I love you, you know, like, mm-hmm. And again, fatherhood's a great picture of that. Like there are so many things that I would willingly do for that little girl because I just would. Like there's like, she's, I have the opportunity because God's given me the opportunity to be her dad. Like I would do anything for that little girl. And if she knew the amount of stuff that I've gone through to make sure she has a good life, like the little problems that she deals with every day, from a scraped knee to, you know, somebody didn't let me play with this toy or whatever, it would be so, I mean, I say it and it sounds ridiculous, but I think that's the point. Like get this world has so many bigger problems. So like, don't take it too seriously. Like God's going to handle it either way too. So like, learning to trust him in that, I think is, you know, maybe that's the other half of it is like, don't take life too seriously. Cause God's got it taken care of. Like, cause he does, you know,
or even just like thinking about like other situations and I mean, in anybody's life or like thinking about my own life, like you can respond to somebody wronging you in the way that they would expect you to, like yelling at them, berating them, doing anything else to just try and tear them down. But it's one of those things, like, I had to look at, and I'm like, who does that benefit? Does right. that make me feel any better by tearing somebody else down? Are right. they going right. to feel any better because they just got torn down? No. There's no yeah. point in like what you're talking about, like car accidents or like anything like that. It's like there's no point in just chewing somebody out and just taking things way out of proportion. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
take a deep breath and be like, I'm still alive. If it's like car accident or whatever, cars can be replaced. And thinking about like financial things of like money and whatnot, I'm like, God always provides.
Yeah.
No matter what, there's always, he's always going to take care of you. And it's one of my,
here's a good example for you. Yesterday, Dylan was, my daughter was, oh gosh, there was something that she wanted food wise. It was like a snack or something. And I think it got thrown away or something like that. Or it got like fell on the floor or something like that. So we threw it away. And she just goes into this all out, like, bawling fit, throws herself on the floor. And I knew in that moment, I'm like, I can respond one of two ways. I can either be like, Dylan, stop. No, we're not doing that. Or I can go up to her. And this is what I did, is I walked up to her and I'm like, hey, you know, there's always, I can't remember what it was, like an applesauce packet or something. I mean, it was like marshmallows or something like that. I can't remember what it was. I said, hey, there's going to be more marshmallows in the world. You know what you only get one of? A mommy. And you know what you only get one of? A daddy. And she was like, it was like all of a sudden she kind of realized like, okay. Like at that point, I was holding her like in my arm, and I think at that point she kind of gave me a hug, like, you know, like helping her realize like there's a whole lot bigger problems in the world. There's a whole lot worse things you could lose.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
That like you said, like, okay, I'm alive. The car may be done for, but I'm alive. I'm breathing. Nothing's broken. You know, nobody's mm-hmm. hurt. Like, and even if somebody is hurt, like that's fixable. At least they're alive and breathing. Like, God forbid. There's a whole lot worse things in the world. And when those things come, like, I think that's when you have to learn to like, okay, just to stop and say, okay, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're doing. Just like we kind of talked about, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to lean on you because there's nothing I can do to change what's already happening. And only you can fix what's happening.
Sure. And so we can kind of like lean into that kind of mindset. Like, granted, the perspective of a 4-year-old is vastly different from an adult, but life definitely isn't easy. So yeah. I would say like a major challenge that you've faced that ultimately helped you grow your faith a little bit.
Oh gosh, this is definitely a whole nother episode in and of itself. yeah. I mean, like, I really do. Like, I know I've said it several times just in this conversation, but I do think like ministry is such a good, this gives you such a good idea of how gross and icky people can be, you know, and that doesn't go to say that there's like not good people in the world. 'Cause I think some of those people that are, you know, probably that have done terrible, awful things still have a heart. And again, this is a whole nother podcast in and of itself that we can get into. But like, I just think ministry is one of those things that really teaches you like how to not only navigate people, but to like navigate life in general of like, at what point are you going to choose to finally lean into who you claim to believe in? And I think that that's something that most people in ministry struggle with on a daily basis, is that thought process of like, you claim that this is what you believe. And if that's the case, then how are you going to respond to A, B, and C situations?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to tell somebody that this is what they should believe, then you can't pretend that the God you claim to be telling them about, that you're not going to lean on them, that you're not going to lean on him either. Like, you've got to choose to lean into what you claim to believe. And that is the hardest part, because there are definitely situations where I've told people, I'm like, yeah, you should do this. And it's so easy to say, like, it's so easy to be like, oh yeah, you could do this and you can do that. And like, God's going to bless this and God's going to do that. And then you get into it and you're like, well, screw that. Like, I'm pissed. You know, I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm hurt. Like, they're not going to do that to me. And I feel like finding that fine line of saying, okay, God, like, I mean, I can only imagine like Jesus's position. Like, that's essentially what, in my mind, like when you're in ministry, like there's a certain aspect of you that has to kind of think that way of like, how am I going to choose to respond? And so like, yeah, like I know I've said it, I'll say it again, but like ministry has been one of the toughest things in general to navigate because of just how like harsh like situations can be within the church, whether that be between people, whether that be between co-workers, whether that be between a pastor and another pastor or whatever, like navigating those things, it's a whole different level because there's a spiritual aspect to it that you have to keep in mind. And choosing to respond correctly is not even like choosing how to respond, choosing to respond correctly. Because again, at the end of the day, like I hope I know what the right answer is, but choosing to respond that way is the single hardest thing to do.
It's truly been kind of like eye-opening for me to become like a close friend with you, who's been involved as a employed, like employed by the church. Like you've been a worship pastor, a worship leader.
You've seen me respond incorrectly.
Right. And like, I mean, we're all broken people. We're going to make bad choices. And it's just how we respond after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's just been, it's really been eye-opening to kind of understand more so like the intricacies that go into church life as an employed member of the church, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a worship leader, any of them, like the woman that you were speaking of earlier, that she, I'm sure, bears a lot of weight on the church, and she's not like necessarily like a full-time pastor, but she does a lot of like other ministries outside of the church. She goes and sees some of these people and they're on their worst day.
Yeah.
And the amount of emotional stress that that's got to put on her, just the amount of weight that she's got to be able to carry. Like it's not an easy job. And
I commend
anyone that chooses to go into that field, because it is not something that I was made for. That's for darn sure. But it has been really, really kind of just, again, eye-opening to see the other side of it, what's on the other side of the curtain.
And you don't think about it from that perspective, but like all of your coworkers are also, for lack of better terms, to give you a kind of a perspective, like all of your coworkers, all of the people in your congregation, because to some extent, like your volunteers or your coworkers, those are also your friends and your family. And those are the people that like, there's no amount of getting away from it. Like even if it's the one place that I feel like you should be able to go, you almost feel like you can't, because then like if somebody sees what you're dealing with, then all of a sudden like, oh, you're broken. Oh, you're messed up. Oh, you're dealing with something that's like earthly, like you're a human being. And then all of a sudden it's like, then why are you leading our church? And you're like, because I'm just like you. Like, I'm messed up. I made mistakes. Like, would you want, and I'll say this, this will be the last thing I'll say on this, but like, would you want somebody who doesn't know what you're going through to be leading you and how to navigate those things? Because I think that was the whole point of what Jesus did in the first place. Like,
you want somebody with some experience.
Right. The man took everything you've ever felt and experienced, all of that, and multiply it by what, 7-8 billion people. He took all of that. Like, I don't even want to imagine how that felt, because I know how much my own pain has hurt me. And so to think that somebody took all of that, and you want somebody who's never experienced any of that to navigate, like, what's the point of a savior if you don't need saving? Then that's like, I feel like it's been like my life motto, like recently.
Preach.
Like, what? Yeah, I've heard people say that, and it's true. Like, you,
oh yeah,
I can't help you if I've never experienced what pain is like. Like, Jesus experienced pain. Like, he understands because he went through it. He didn't respond negatively like we do, but he understands because he went through it. And I don't want to, I'd be a bad dad if I didn't express to my daughter, like, I'm messed up, but there's one who isn't. And he wants your whole heart, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, it goes back to, like, we've talked about this a lot in the other podcast, talking about just ministry leaders in general. So if you haven't listened to that, definitely go listen to that. But one of my favorite song lyrics that ties really well into it, Sidewalk Prophets, like talking about, like, I'm the pastor at your church. You think I've got all the answers, but the truth is I'm just like you, afraid, broken, tired, insecure. Like, you don't know what's going on fully with these people that stand up in front of you every Sunday morning and preach a sermon.
It's good.
They might preach a sermon and put on this happy face. They might go home and just be completely broken because something else is going on in their life. And people just want everything from them to fix their life. They're like, I'm important. You need to fix me.
Yeah.
But if you just look at them for 1 second and you go, you know what? Sometimes they need some prayer too.
Yeah.
They need a little help too.
Yeah.
I got
That's true. What'd you say?
So that got heavy.
Yeah. No, but you're right. You're right. You're really right. Yeah. And definitely there's a whole topic even outside of what we've discussed, which, yeah, if you haven't heard that episode, you should definitely go listen to it. We actually recorded the first episode for the podcast before we're recording this initial like trailer interview aspect of it. So yeah, it's probably going to be one of the very first episodes. So definitely go listen to that when you get a chance.
So I think we're at a good wrapping up point. So we'll kind of finish it off with this one last question. What's one thing that you hope listeners really take away from our podcast? And maybe we can expand it a little bit more. What are you hoping to get from this podcast?
Man, that's a good question. I didn't ask you that one. That one's a good one. I should have asked you that one. Oh, geez. I just hope that people, like, I think I go back to what I said, like, and I'll say it this way, like, I hope people hear our brokenness. Like, I hope people don't listen to this and hear, like, somebody who thinks that they're perfect and understands it all. Because, like, that's not any other podcast. Like, that's not me. That's not Shay. That's not anybody else that, like, every other podcast you're going to listen to is, like, nobody knows everything. And so, like, we're just kind of trying to navigate this together. And I think that's the really cool part of like years in my friendship is that we can do that. But I think like being able to share that with other people of the things that both of us have experienced from different perspectives in ministry, is going to be a lot of fun to navigate. Like, I'm really hoping that that's what it is people see the brokenness and in the process also see like there's somebody who took all of that, who no longer is broken. He was broken for us and he's no longer is. And he wants to continue to take the pain, because he already took it. And so I think that's what I'm hoping is that people will just really heavily see Jesus, in our conversation, in our brokenness, in our stupidity, in our poor parenting, in all of that, like, you know, so yeah.
Well, very good. Well, I definitely am looking forward to all these conversations. I think we touched on a lot of really good topics that we could dig way deeper into, and have a lot of really good conversations, and definitely just in our brokenness together, find what lies in between.
Yep. There it is.
Roll credits. No. but I'm glad we got to have this little intro to who Christian is, and inevitably, moving forward, we'll get to know about each other a lot more, discussing a lot of these other topics, and we'll kind of figure out life as we go through. So I'll say thanks again for listening. This is Shay. I'm with Christian.
This is Christian, yep.
We'll catch you next time.
See you later.